Most of this morning, the theme has been on the presence of the Lord, really desiring his presence. And what that really means is we desire to have the Lord intimately involved with us. He's not just some being, some unknowable deity way off in space somewhere, who has left us to fend for ourselves here in this life. And every once in a while there's some intervention into our life from him. But he's more like what we've seen in some of the movies, you know, the Greek and the Roman gods, you know, Jupiter and Zeus and Athena and all of that. They really have their own life, and every once in a while they come in and invade the lives of the puny humans. But that's not God. And so when we say, Lord, I love your presence, we're saying, God, I sense that you're here, and I'm not afraid of you, and I'm not running from you. You know, when Adam and Eve had disobeyed God, when they heard the sound of God coming in the cool of the day, that's what the Bible says, they heard the sound of the Lord. They could hear him coming. And God, I remember doing a study on that, and the sound of the Lord literally meant that you could hear the entourage of God coming. God had an entourage, meaning the angels singing, the beating of their wings, thunder and lightning. They could hear it. He was coming. And all before, before they had disobeyed him, when they heard that sound, it was a joyful sound. Can you imagine? See, we think of it as a terrible sound because we're so aware of our sin. But for them, before the sin, that was a joyful sound. You could hear the entourage coming, angels singing, the thunder, lightning, all of this sound. God is coming. And so evidently they used to run to meet him. But instead of running to meet him, this time they ran and hid. And so that's why God is like, wait a minute, they aren't coming. And it goes, Adam, where are y'all? And I don't know if you ever noticed that the woman didn't have a separate name. In fact, you'll find that in Genesis, they were called Adam. She didn't get a separate name until she separated herself from her husband. Then she received a separate name. But before them, God said, Adam, where are you? And that word was a plural. That he wasn't meaning just the man. When he said in the Hebrew, Adam, where are you? You was y'all. They had one name because they were one. He said, Adam, where are y'all? We hadn't. We hid from you. What? Because we were ashamed. What? I never taught you any of those words. We never had those words before. Hide, shame. We messed up. Yeah. So it used to be a great sound. What am I talking about? So now today we're able to say, because of what Jesus has done, Lord, when we hear the entourage coming, when we feel your presence, we're not running. We love your presence. I love the thought of the angels singing and the thunder and the lightning and the awesome sound of you coming into my life. I love when I feel your presence moving upon me. I love your presence. Isn't that awesome? Come on, take a moment and just say that. Lord, I love your presence. I'm not running from your presence. I love your presence. I'm not terrified at knowing that you're coming. I'm not terrified at your spontaneous moments of visiting me. I love your presence. I love your presence. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we continue and really come to the conclusion of this time of being together, that's what's in our hearts, Lord. We love your presence. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May you be pleased with our worship that we have presented to you today, with the sacrifice of our praise and our thanksgiving to you. May you be pleased. We pray that it has come up before you as a sweet-smelling savor. Yes, Lord, a sweet-smelling, a wonderful, awesome-smelling incense has come up before you. Yes, Lord. Speak, Lord God, to us. We've started another month, our first Sunday of a new month in this year. Help us, Lord God, to continue to open up our hearts, our lives to you in the areas where you're showing us, where we're still kind of closed off or running from you, Lord. Show us, Lord God, the places where it's time for us just to repent, not to cover up like Adam and Eve did, not to cover up with fig leaves and try to make excuses. We're not going to pass the buck. Lord, we just own up to it and we repent so that you can be welcome in that place in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Well, I left something in your seats for you to just to read along with me. Our prayer focus theme, I wanted to just to, this is really serves as more as a reminder. It comes from one of our emails that we sent out, I guess 3 or 4 years ago. It's in our book called Overcomers Under Orders, and it's a particular email that we sent out called Rebuild the Ancient Ruins. And it, reason why I felt like this was necessary for us to rehearse just this little bit was just to serve as a reminder of why God has called us together as a church family, the assignment that he has given us to refresh the hope that you have even for your own family. And I'll just read. It says, over the past few weeks, we've been rehearsing the prophetic promise concerning our lives as it relates to Isaiah 61, verse 4, which reads, "And they shall rebuild the old ruins." Sound familiar? "They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations." They, in that scripture, refer to the poor who had good tidings preached to them. Because in Isaiah 61 verses 1, 2, and 3, it refers to the they. And by the time you get to verse 4, it's telling you what they are going to do. So they is referring to the poor who had good tidings preached to them. They are the brokenhearted who got healed. They are the captives who received the proclamation of liberty. They are the bound who walked out from their prisons when its doors were opened. They are the ones who were comforted in their mourning. They were consoled in grief, given beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for heaviness and despair. Now, every single one of those days is a sermon within themselves, but I just can't stop. But I wanted to tell you that you are the they. When you read Isaiah 61 verse 4, he's not just talking about some random people, and I don't want you to think of it as just another Bible verse and they doesn't have a name. In fact, you can put your name in that place when you read Isaiah 61 verse 4. Put where it says they, I want you to put in your name. So it would be, "And Sylvester shall rebuild the old ruins, and Juanita shall raise up former desolation." Say, I want you to go like that. "And Mary shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations," because that's the they who they're referring to. That's who it's referring to. You are the they. We took a closer look at what it means to rebuild the ancient ruins, and the Lord revealed something very special. I did a Hebrew study on those words, and the Hebrew word for ancient had a meaning that described longevity in terms of the past and the future, with the view that a thing, a situation, or a condition will last forever. The thought is that since it's always been this way, then it will always be this way. So when it says they shall repair the old ruins, that word old is the word ancient, and the word ancient in the Hebrew meant it's been this way for a long, long time, and it's been that way all of your life, and it's been that way for so long that it seems like it's always going to be that way. It's sort of like I was born in Harrisburg and it was like this when I got here. It's been like this all of my life, and I fully expect it will always be this way. It's the reason why we say things like, yeah, that's Harrisburg. So I want you to now hear Harrisburg in light of Isaiah 61 verse 4, and they shall repair the old ruins of Harrisburg. They shall repair Harrisburg. The same folks who was poor, the same folks who were brokenhearted, the same folks who used to be captives, the same folks who was bound, the same folks who were in mourning, the same people who were in grief, they will repair. They will rebuild. I'm sorry. They will rebuild Harrisburg. Thank you, Lord. The Hebrew word for ruin, ancient ruins. See, it's always been this way. Now, the Hebrew word for ruins referred to something being laid waste, but it was laid waste, but through its root word, it means a desolation by means of drought. It wasn't just laid waste. It doesn't mean it was ruined. It was ruined a particular way. It was ruined as a result of drought. It was ruined by heat. It was ruined by dryness. One of the word usages specified specifically the ruining of a home in this manner. A home, a household, ruined by drought, heat, dryness. Isn't it amazing? So as we explored this passage, it spoke to the reality of life for many, many families in this city. Homes have been ruined by spiritual drought. How can you have spiritual drought in a city that's got this many churches? Churches everywhere. Well, they're buildings. They're gatherings. Homes have been ruined by spiritual drought, and it's been this way for so long that it seems like it will be like this forever. When we studied the Hebrew word for rebuilding, though, to rebuild what has been ruined by drought for a long time. When we studied the Hebrew word for rebuilding, it referred to the establishment of a home, the restoration of exiles, and to make something permanent by building a family. That Hebrew word for rebuild dealt with all of those things. It meant the establishment of a home. Isn't amazing? God's answer for dryness and the drought and the heat. We're going to rebuild or establish a home. We're going to restore the exiles, those who have been driven out, kicked out, put out. God's going to restore the exiles. And to make something permanent by building a family. So the deeper meaning of this passage is this. There are homes, families, and lives that have been perpetually, that means continue and continually laid waste by drought. Spiritually, drought is the absence of God's spirit and his word, his presence and his word. Now you see why the Lord put so much emphasis on presence today. Because this is how God deals with the drought. It's been laid waste by drought, the absence of God's spirit and his word. It was like this when you were born. How many of you can say that? Harrisburg was like this when I was born. Don't wave your hand. It has been this way all of your life, and it looks like it will never, ever change. So now that we've been armed, suited up, geared up with a greater understanding of what it means to rebuild the ancient ruins, let's make this prophetic declaration as a church family. And I want you just to read this along with me, this final phrase. Let's read together. We who were once poor, brokenhearted, captive, prisoners, in mourning, in grief, and living with ashes and heaviness, will now rebuild, fortify, and establish our homes. We will restore the exiles. This will be a permanent change because we receive the refreshing waters of God's presence and word in our hearts. We receive the priority of the presence and the word of God in our homes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Would you do that right now to make it real intentional? Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. I receive the refreshing waters of your presence, Lord. The refreshing waters of your word in my own heart, in my own home. Thank you, Lord. Lord, in every place in my home, any place in my heart, let's just start there, where there's still old ruins, where there's still drought, where I haven't allowed your spirit, I haven't allowed your word to have just to be free to move and to make changes in me, I open up that place now. And only you know where that place is. Yes, Lord. I open it up, Lord. Every place where I'm still afraid, I'm fearful of what you might ask of me. I'm fearful of what you might require of me. See, that's a drought. That's kind of an indicator of a place where in your life where there's drought. If you're still afraid of God to ask of you certain things and to require of you certain things. Especially there's drought where there's rebellion, where you've already made up your mind to see, because that's hardness. That's why the Bible told and tells people of God, break up the fallow ground. Fallow ground is hard ground, dry ground. So in every place where it's Lord, I ain't gonna do this. Every place where you said that, just Lord, say it now, Lord, I welcome your spirit. I welcome the waters of your word. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I receive, Lord, the priority of your presence, the priority of your word in my home, in my heart. I receive it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's it for today. You said, Pastor Chris, that's it. That's it. I believe that this is what God wanted us to do, was to focus upon his presence today. To put all of our attentions upon his presence and be real intentional this week. One thing about these first Sundays, the Lord told me to be very intentional about the seeds that I sow on these particular Sundays. And this is just a seed. I didn't want it to be full of hype. Didn't want it to be just emotional, but a seed to be sown. And it is, make the Lord's presence and his word priority. Little things. If you don't regularly begin to regularly start your day off with prayer, start your day off in his word or with a devotional, somewhere during your day, stop and read his word or pray. It's very, very important. I sense that the days ahead are going to be full of trouble for America. And we will be fortified by doing what we're doing now. taking the time to reprioritize our life, coming in on Sundays like this and doing nothing but just worshiping and praying. And it feels a little awkward. Sometimes it feels a little strange. I'm going to be sending you an email this week in our newsletter to talk about how we live in such a fast-paced world and how God just don't, he just don't do that. Anybody ever notice that? No matter how fast technology goes, God will still be like, this is my pace. I mean, all of nature tells us God's pace. It still takes 60 seconds to make a minute. And God ain't changing that. That ain't changing. It still takes 60 minutes for an hour. It still takes 24 hours to do a day. God does not speed up the rotation of the earth. I'm going to make it move. I'm going to spin it a little bit faster to shorten the day. No, no. He set these things in motion, and it still takes 365 days for this planet to go around the sun. And so we got all this high-tech technology, and we can push buttons and do stuff fast. And God is like, okay, with all your technology, I put it in there. Say, it still takes 32 to 36 weeks for a baby to come through healthily to be born. God don't speed it up. We got technology that can measure all of it. But that baby ain't coming no sooner. Not in a healthy way. That's just how it is. And so I believe that part of what God is doing with us as a church family is to get us to stay in his pace. Because the world starts, anybody ever feel like that? The world's going faster and faster. And it can kind of make you feel like, to be a believer, we slow. We're not keeping up with things. And so we feel this pressure to know the latest movies and the latest music and the latest this and to be caught up and right on time with the rest of the world. Because if you really know what's happening, you know what's going on with everything. And God is like, and he keeps telling his people, just slow down. You don't need to know the latest of everything because I'm already in tomorrow. The stuff that they are raving about, I already saw this thousands of years ago. In fact, I told y'all this world was going to be like this. I told you technology and everything was going to increase. Knowledge was going to increase. So don't get caught up because the world seems like they're going so fast and we Christians are being left behind. No, we're not being left behind. It's just the opposite. Yeah, I said left behind. It's just the opposite. We're not being left behind. We live in the forethought and the foreknowledge of God. So we're not only is it the case of we're not left behind, but we're ahead of the game. You and I don't have to run at the world's pace in order to be right on top of what's going on. You know, all I need to know, I don't need to know everything that's going on. I need to know the one who knows. Preach, Pastor Chris, preach. I need to know the one who knows it all. I don't need to know it all. You know what I mean? I don't need to know all of how my car works. I just need to know Rich. Just know the one who knows. See what I mean about knowledge? See, this world thinks it's about all the having all this information. No, it ain't about what I know. Y'all know where I'm going. It's about who I know. Yes, Lord. So I want you to stay encouraged. And what happens is these first Sunday prayer keeps us connected and stay in touch with who we know. And we don't have to feel the pressure of the world's getting way ahead of us. And we're going to be somehow left lagging and left behind. My wife and I are on our jobs. Whenever people are doing stuff and working things behind the scenes, we've discovered that we don't have to know what they said. We don't have to know what they're doing. Me and her just stay in track, stay in tune, do what God says do. And he keeps turning it all around every time. And I still don't know what they said in their meetings behind closed doors. I don't need to know that. I need to know the one who knows. That's right. He knows what they said and what they did. So all we know is I know the one who knows. So every week that we're coming, it's like, all right, Lord, tell me some more of what you know. Fill me up some. Well, no, why is he doing that? Because he wants us even more throughout the week. He said, now what's happening to you on Sundays? What I'm pumping up will get you all fired up on Sundays. Now, Monday morning, you can still stay connected. Get in my word. Just bow before me. I'm going to give you what you need to know today. That's what he does. I found that when I start my day off, I just do the Oswald Chambers devotional, and it is amazing. It is amazing. My wife is going through the 1 year Bible, and it is just amazing how what you need for that day is what you read. God is so awesome. Or he'll speak to you. Even if it wasn't what you read, just in the moment while you're reading it, he drops a thought. Why does he do that? Because I'm giving you what you need to know today. Yes, Lord. So that whatever it is that's coming upon our nation, and I do believe it. I believe, and that's why I've shown you things like, the rate of which 55 million babies have been killed since 1973, and the horrible things that are happening. You know, our economy's falling. Our ecology is failing. You know, we're headed for crises on many, many levels in America. But we don't have to fear it because we're connected with the one. I believe that God is preparing us to do just what I read. He's preparing us to be a part of those who will rebuild the ancient ruins in our families, among family members, all of us. You're going to have family members that are going to need you. They're going to need you. They are. And God's preparing your heart. He's preparing our hearts for them. They're going to need us. They're going to need your prayer. They're going to need you to embrace them. Some of them may need some money. Money, not my money. I don't want to give my family members no money. He's preparing your heart. He's preparing your heart. And not to loan it to them either. Give it. Give them. Oh, God. Give them. Why is he going to require that you do stuff like that? Because it's going to be part of that water, part of his presence, part of that water coming into the places where they're dry. They've been ruined because of the lack of the presence and the lack of the word of God. And God ain't going to always have the word come forth to them as just us speaking it. He's going to let it come forth to them as we demonstrate it. We ain't going to be able to say, oh, I love you. Give them the little, you know, the little token hug with one arm and space in between because you really don't want to hug them. He ain't going to let you do that. He ain't going to let us do that. He's going to say, you know, you find out some crisis that they're in. You may have your job and they lose their job. And so God will, part of rebuilding the old ruins in your family, will say, give them some money. Invite them over for dinner. Lord, I don't want them in my house. I don't want them and all they bad kids in my house. But he's saying, but I want my word to come into their life. Well, can I just tell them? No. I want you to demonstrate it. Demonstrate it. Show them. And so that's what this is about. In my heart, that's what our gatherings are about. It's part of preparing us for the times, for the days when we got to rebuild the old ruins. Yeah. So now is the time to start saying, yes, Lord. Remember that old school song? All you Pentecostals, y'all know. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. See, you can feel it. My soul says yes. Remember? My soul says yes. 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 Yes, I heard it. Yes, come on, sing it. Yes to your will. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we have said yes to you. We say yes to your will, yes to your way. Our souls do say yes. Whatever it's going to take, Lord God, for us to be in the place in our hearts, in our finances. See, now you see why God wants to bless you. He wouldn't just want to bless you for your sake. That's the reason for the promotion. That's the reason for the pay increase. That's the reason for the better home or the better car and all of that. It's all for God. Everything I own, it belongs to you so that you can rebuild the old ruins of my family through me, through my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to share this little nugget of wisdom the Lord gave me. You can just keep your eyes closed. The Lord told me, he said, everything that you own, Chris, you are responsible to take care of. But everything that I own, I am responsible to take care of. So as long as it's your car and it's your house and it's your stuff, you got to take care of it. But if you give it to me, thank you, Lord, then I'll take care of it. But you know, when you give it to me, it has to be used for my purpose. Yes, Lord. So let the things of this earth, let it go. Just let it go. Give it to me. Thank you, Lord. Some of you may feel a little bit tricked. You say, God, I always said I ain't want to be no missionary. I ain't want to be going over to Africa, Asia, India. He tricked you. He said, Africa, Asia, India is right here in America. Africa, Asia, India is right in your house. It's right with your family. So, yes, you're a missionary. You're called to rescue. That's what missionary work was always about anyway. It was always about rescuing and helping a people who could not help themselves. Yes, Lord. Lord, throughout this week, we just trust you, Lord God, to continue to water this word, to bring new light and new life and understanding into our lives. Lord, throughout this week, I just pray this word over our church family. Thank you, Lord God, for provision, protection. Thank you, Lord God, for grace and favor. Even as Jesus, as a child, your word says that he grew in favor with God and man. Lord, I pray this over our church family, that throughout this week, we would grow even more in favor with you and with man. Thank you for favor in our neighborhood, favor on our jobs, favor in the community. Thank you, Lord God, for favor. Even as we position ourselves in our hearts for your purpose to come through, even as we yield ourselves to you for your purpose to come through, Lord, grant your people favor in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Until we are again gathered in this place, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Come on, really give it to him. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.